All right, Andy. So kind of discussing Diabetes Alert Day and kind of visiting the wake up call, the kind of alert or kind of the pre-stages before really assessing diabetes and managing the condition. So Diabetes Alert Day is often described as a wake up call for the undiagnosed. From your perspective behind the counter, why is it so common for people to be unaware that they're living with either pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes?
Well, I think from my perspective behind the counter, it's mainly a twofold problem. Number one, I think that due to a basically in some areas critical shortage of primary care, both physicians or providers of any type, it's hard for people to get in to see a doctor, or even if they did have, you know, prescribers in their area seeing new patients, it's often very difficult for those patients to get in, oftentimes during working hours, which is, you know, when they're at work, it's hard for them to get time off. People are busy. And then the other component of that is that because prediabetes and type 2 diabetes can oftentimes be something that's not obvious to a patient that there's something that's wrong, it's almost like they're kind of, or, you know, the symptoms of what's wrong may be so mild initially, it's just something that they don't think is severe enough, or they don't think about going in to be seen and be evaluated. So it's almost, and even then, you know, if they do get evaluated, sometimes, you know how people can be, they kind of live under a rock. They're like, you know, it's something may be wrong, but I don't necessarily feel that different or feel that bad. So it's not something I want to address at this time. But that's where, you know, things like the Diabetes Alert Day, where especially people that have, you know, prediabetes or undiagnosed type 2 diabetes can get the opportunity to take the ADA questionnaire, you know, really, you know, focus, you know, let me go in and get evaluated. It really helps a lot of these people go in and get the treatment they need.
Awesome. Perfectly said. I think that's kind of the basis of like people that, like you said, the people that can be kind of a little hesitant to really go into that and try to get that diagnosis and really find out what's going on. So beyond just dispensing medication, how can a local pharmacist help a patient navigate their initial alert or diagnosis? And what are some examples of pharmacist-led services that really help with this?
So I think in terms of helping patients navigate their initial alert, I've been a pharmacist since 2012, practicing the entire time in the community setting. And I've seen many, many patients over the years who get diagnosed, especially, it's mainly, it seems like type 2 diabetes. And it's almost like a lot of them are shell-shocked. You know, they've been given all this guidance, told all these things, given all these instructions, oftentimes in language they don't understand. And oftentimes, you know, they're put on 3 to 5 different medicines, sometimes seemingly initially or within a very short time span. So they get very confused or they get very overwhelmed. So in terms of what the pharmacist can do, I always go back, you know, to the gold standard of what we do. And that's, you know, counseling about medication, making sure that these patients, oftentimes many that have never taken any other medicine in the past, you know, realize, you know, what this new medicine they're going to be on's for, what to expect in terms of side effects, what adverse effects, you know, they could possibly experience and when to report those to their provider, as well as, and this is the most important at the beginning, really driving home the importance of adherence, really driving home that, you know, diabetes treatment is a marathon, not a sprint. This is oftentimes with type 2 diabetes, a condition that is developed over a long time. And it's a condition that is going to be something that you have to live with and treat for a long time. You know, you can't just go out and eat salads, you know, nonstop every day for 2 weeks and all of a sudden diabetes is going to go away. It doesn't work that way. Even though it seems like a lot of people think it does, that's something that we can really hammer home, especially at the initial diagnosis. The second thing, and this is something I find myself doing quite frequently, is really helping clarify a lot of the kind of complicated information or helping get rid of some bad information people may be reading or kind of putting information to a perspective, explaining things in plain language to people, explaining, you know, kind of sequentially what, you know, different therapy steps look like for patients and helping build their confidence to, you know, especially if they, you know, make a mistake or, you know, they miss a couple of doses or something or forget, you know, to fill a prescription or something, but really kind of help be that kind of like health coach for them in this setting to be there when they have questions. And in terms of kind of some of the clinical services that I think pharmacists can help with. The first thing that comes to me being in the community setting is, you know, we have to do, you know, tips and CMRs. Those are things that are going to help identify issues as well as help promote compliance, help with the revenue side for the pharmacy itself as well. But it's also going to help those patients and stay compliant to their therapy and have the best outcomes possible. And one thing I myself have started doing when I get a patient or a new patient that has diabetes, especially when they're completely brand new, I like to take that opportunity to see what other medicine, you know, they're on for any other conditions, any other chronic disease state. And I like to start trying as best as I can to synchronize those medicines all beyond one fill date. Because I think that when you can get, you know, have people take less trips to the pharmacy, that's one less thing off their plate. So getting that started early when people just get diagnosed and just get started on therapy is, I think, crucial in being, you know, to their success long terms and being both compliant with therapy and then helping promote positive outcomes. In terms of other clinical services, I think that, you know, kind of a future thing a lot of community pharmacies may be moving towards or to get into is some point of care testing. Let patients do A1Cs at the pharmacy. That may help, you know, especially in areas like Tennessee where I am. I just saw an article the other day talking about a primary care physician shortage and how pharmacists are poised to kind of step in and help with some things like point of care testing and getting collaborative practice agreements to initiate or change therapy. So, you know, maybe in the future doing A1C test and having that CPA where you can, you know, change therapy or start therapy would be a great clinical service opportunity for community pharmacies. And just, this is not necessarily a pharmacist opportunity, but at least with our company, Food City, we have a program. It's called the EPIC program, which is an acronym, of course. It stands for Empowering Patients to Improve Control. And it's of diabetes specifically. And what it is it's actually a pharmacist-led program. We have several pharmacists at our corporate office, as well as, I believe, a few nurses. But they are, through the company, they work basically as health coaches or health educators and will reach out to employees, not just of the pharmacy here at Food City, but in the store as well, in our distribution center, all our different employees. Anyone that gets that type 2 diabetes diagnosis, they reach out and they, like I said, they'll provide a great deal of health education, health coaching. You know, they're checking in on them, making sure they're getting labs done, going to the doctor, reviewing questions that they have about their medicine, facilitating the prior authorization process if there is one for any therapy they get put on. The patients are rewarded with this. If they participate in the program, they get a 50% reduction in their out-of-pocket costs on their copays if they follow through with everything they're supposed to do on the patient end. So it's something that the patients are financially interested in because it benefits them. And it's also something where it's like they get like free diabetes meters, make sure the strips are affordable, everything like that. So I think that patients that are employed that, you know, work at a commercial insurance, reach out to your employer to see if they have a program like the one Food City has, because that could be a great tool both in helping them, like I said, in their long-term outcomes, as well as possibly lowering their out-of-pocket costs.
Awesome. That's perfectly said. Not only kind of touching on the importance of Diabetes Alert Day and talking about what you're doing personally, what your greater organization is doing, like it's really awesome services to kind of learn about and promote across, you know, greater pharmacy industry. And also, like, it feels like the Diabetes Alert Day really does, aside from the importance of medications, it highlights the importance of pharmacists and their ability to talk to patients and kind of get over those initial challenges when they do learn about their diagnosis. So I think that's a good segue into kind of the overwhelming nature that you kind of you touched on previously. So we know that diabetes burnout and the cost of supplies are huge hurdles. Like you said, with the out-of-pocket costs, like they can be no joke for patients. Mm-hmm. How do you help patients manage the psychological and financial stress of a chronic condition like diabetes?
Well, in terms of the psychological stress, it's been my experience that many people get overwhelmed by seemingly the amount of lifestyle changes or the amount of medicine they're going to have to take, or, you know, things that they took for granted before, that, you know, you go out and eat a whole pint of ice cream or go out and eat a whole cake that they may have done before that now all of a sudden they seemingly can't do ever again. And it's, once again, why I kind of stress, you know, that this is a marathon, not a sprint. You will not be perfect. There will be times that you eat things you shouldn't. There will be times you forget your medicine. We're not saying that it's never going to happen and that we're going to quit when it does. It's just, we're going to, when it happens, we're going to pick ourselves back up and we're going to get back on the horse and we're going to try to work as hard as we can. That's in terms of the psychological component. And definitely the financial component can be considerable. Seems like test strips cost more than ever. It seems like a lot of these, you know, new drug, the GLP-1s especially, cost more than ever, especially right now at the beginning of the year when everybody's deductibles reset. It seems like it's, people are really feeling that burden in terms of the cost of like some of the brand drugs that are so expensive. We here at Food City, we always try to work with patients and help them get signed up. If there's a manufacturer program where that'll help offset some of their copay, we're always, you know, helping direct them to that. If they have problems, we'll help them get signed up for it. For patients with Medicare, it seems like every other person I've been talking to with Medicare that has a, you know, brand name diabetes drug, I'm educating them about the Medicare payment plan, which is where, you know, they reach out to their Medicare plan that they have, their drug plan, and they can split that big cost up over the course of the year. Kind of the strategy I've really worked with a lot of patients on is to split that up. You know, you've got a big deductible, big out-of-pocket copay, you know, get it split up into the monthly payments. And then, you know, you get your tax refund here in a couple months and you can pay that off early if you want to. If not, you don't have to pay it off through the year. But I've had many people who have successfully done that and who have been very thankful and said that it's been a tremendous way to help them kind of offset, you know, the big deductible they're having to pay, especially right after Christmas when people are already a little low on funds to begin with. In terms of some things that we do as a company specifically to help with cost is, we have partnered with Topco, who makes their own brand of TruMetrics, or has their own license with TruMetrics, to have both strips, meters, lancets, lancing devices. And we're often able to sell those over the counter without a prescription. So, you know, I think it's like for 30 strips, it's like $6 and maybe 50 cents after tax. So you get somebody that can test four times a day and it's around like $30 or less a month. That's a lot less than seemingly some people's copays, especially with their deductible, or people don't have to go through the rigmarole of figuring out what necessarily brand or, you know, their insurance company may cover this year. And then once it does cover, if they have like a really high out-of-pocket cost for it, this kind of helps them afford that. Or, you know, we're seeing a lot of people that want to use the continuous glucose monitors, but they also want to have a backup to confirm, you know, that when it says that their sugar's high or low, that they can confirm, you know, okay, I've used a different testing method, this is the case. And so we've been having a lot of success with those over-the-counter strips and the over-the-counter meter to help patients test, in as opposed to having to, you know, pay a lot more out of pocket for something that may be on their insurance or is not covered by their insurance. But then the last thing I would like to say about the psychological stress component of it is, when I was in school back in 2011, I had a rotation at a hospital down in Birmingham on the surgical intensive care unit with a clinical pharmacist. And I remember one day we were walking down the ward there, and it seemed like out of 10 bays they had in the SICU, 9 of them were leg amputations. And I said, "What's going on? You know, it looks like a Civil War hospital in here." And he told me that, you know, these are all diabetic leg amputations. Every single one of these is somebody with uncontrolled type 2 diabetes. And he told me something that I agreed with and I still wish this day. And that's that he said, if he could, he would bring every single new type 2 diabetic patient that got diagnosed with it into that unit so they could look at, you know, what their outcomes would be if they didn't start to make lifestyle interventions now, if they didn't start pharmacotherapy now, that left uncontrolled, even though they may quote unquote feel fine, this is ultimately where it leads. And that's something that's a little bit of kind of the scare you straight kind of deal. But I think that would help maybe with some of the reluctance that people have in terms of starting therapy or making lifestyle interventions.
Awesome. No, I really appreciate sharing that tidbit, and kind of not just that, and just like sharing what you're doing in this space. Like, it's very awesome to see a pharmacist being able to really touch on every facet of like a patient's journey and like the insurance, understanding copays and all that. Like, that's what pharmacists are doing on a daily basis. And obviously for such a chronic disease that affects so many patients, it's really awesome to see how you're helping your patients. So kind of wanted to talk about the lifestyle changes a little bit more specifically, and then kind of had one more question to kind of cap this off. But the statistics show that lifestyle changes can significantly delay or prevent the onset of type 2 diabetes. And so it's kind of touching on that, those conversations that you've had with patients that you've talked about previously. But what are some small wins or habits you recommend to patients that find a full lifestyle like overhaul kind of intimidating?
Gotcha. So yeah, that happens a lot. Back when I was a pharmacy manager a few years ago, I remember I had a guy come in and he was just so overwhelmed, you know, with his type 2 diabetes diagnosis, and he didn't know where to start or what to do. And so I said, you know, we're gonna start small. I was at a small lower volume pharmacy at the time, so I could really take time to kind of help some of these patients. I said, told him about the plate method. I'm a big fan of the plate method. You know, half your plate's going to be non-starchy vegetables. We're going to have a fist-sized portion of protein and no more than a fist-sized portion of carbohydrate, you know, based, you know, plants or whatnot, their starches. And so that's where I always start, the plate method for the win there. And the other small change I always like to tell people is, you know, you're not always going to eat at home. It's not always going to be, you know, easy, like going out to eat or something like that, where it's easy to exercise the plate method. So if you're going to a fast food restaurant, you're going to go, we're all going to go, even if you have type 2 diabetes, make one smart change. When I go to Chick-fil-A, I don't get fries. I get a side salad. I get a cup of vegetable soup. It may not be the greatest thing in the world, you know, as I'm getting my Chick-fil-A sandwich there, but it's one smart decision. And you've got to celebrate the smart wins, because they compound over time. It's like it's a snowball. That's what it is with type 2 diabetes. Every bad decision you make compounds over time. Every good decision you make compounds over time. So make the smart decision consciously when you can, as well as in terms of your diet. The other component is, we want to get to 150 minutes per week of exercise. And that's not strolling along, that's actual exercise. Now, don't go out and run a half marathon tomorrow. Start tomorrow, walk, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes if you need. If you're going from no activity, start with 5 minutes. Every week, add 1 minute. Do it, find something you can do. If it's snowing outside, walk up and down your stairs. If you don't got stairs, get up and down from the couch, do anything. Get moving for 10 minutes and add 1 minute every week. And pretty soon you're going to be where you need to be. And the guy I was telling you about earlier that was so overwhelmed, he actually would check in with me periodically when I was at that pharmacy. And he got to where he was consistently running. He was doing 10Ks. He was working out. He had eventually moved over to a more, not necessarily like a keto diet, but he was really cut back on his carbs. And he went from, you know, being put on several medicines when he first went in, because his diabetes was pretty bad when he first got diagnosed, but he was able to successfully get off all but one of his medicines, and he had lost, I think, upwards of 50 pounds. And I still see him periodically, and to this day, he thanks me. He said, you know, you get so overwhelmed with information and everybody wants to give you opinion, but you got to start small and let it compound over time.
Awesome. I think that was perfectly said. And I really appreciate you sharing your unique perspectives, your unique kind of these personal anecdotes. I think these go a long way and kind of can not only inform, but like inspire other pharmacists to really try new things and find ways to connect with their patients and improve these outcomes. So I really appreciate it. And kind of just wanted to ask one more question just about Alert Day as a whole. So why do you think a dedicated alert day is specifically important for the pharmacy profession and improving long-term outcomes in the diabetes community?
Well, I think it's important mainly, first of all, because of how many people that don't know right now that they have diabetes. When I was, you know, preparing for this interview, I saw that the National Institutes of Health estimates that there's like 8.7 million people that don't know they have diabetes. The American Diabetes Association said it's as many as 20% of people with diabetes that don't know they have it. So having a dedicated day like Diabetes Alert Day And if it's something that, you know, the community pharmacy can get into and, you know, have, you know, educate patients coming to the pharmacy, we can capture hopefully a large chunk, if not all of that chunk, to get diagnosed and to get treatment for their diabetes, because it's important. And especially too, you know, I think the number is like 1 out of 2 Americans may have pre-diabetes. If we can get at least a percentage of those people into the doctor or get those people on treatment or get them headed in the right direction, it's going to promote, you know, better outcomes over time. It's going to keep those people out of the hospital. It's going to keep those SICU beds empty of the people getting diabetic leg amputations. So the community pharmacy is poised as in a perfect position to promote education about Diabetes Alert Day and help people get connected with a provider that can help diagnose them if needed.
Awesome. I think that's the perfect way to cap this off. I couldn't have said it any better myself. And I really appreciate you sharing your insights, your anecdotes, your experience really in this space, in this such an important day, aside from all of the important diabetes awareness that kind of is ongoing throughout the year. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks. Appreciate you, Brian. Have a good one.